welcome to installment 199 of Sefer HaMitzvot from the Rambam. Today we will continue our discussion of Positive Commandment 107, the commandment regulating the impurity conveyed by a dead body. As we have discussed over the last few days, the Positive Commandment 107 is the first of those commandments relating to the laws of Tumah V'Tahara. Purity and impurity, the spiritual impurity, which was present primarily at the times of the temple, at least was primarily relevant then, although it is relevant in certain cases now, as we have been discussing over the past few days. We have been discussing this commandment for so many days because it corresponds to the lengthy discussion which the Rambam has of this commandment in his legal code, since there are so many details and so many chapters associated with this particular law. A great deal of discussion is devoted to the impurity, which is unique to the tumas meis, the impurity of a dead body, and that is conveyed not only as a result of contact with the dead body, direct or indirect, but even being under the same tent, under the common roof, also will cause impurity to be conveyed. We see there are many differences as well between various objects and different types of vessels. In one sense, it is much more severe when the impurity has been attached to a clay vessel, because then it could not be purified, whereas another type of vessel can later be purified. However, on the other hand, the clay vessel is more lenient in the sense that if the impurity should touch on the outside of the clay vessel will not become impure, whereas another type of vessel it will. With a clay vessel, until the impurity enters the clay kibul, the receptacle area of the vessel, and in this case, whether it touches it or not, even should it enter the empty space inside the clay vessel, it becomes impure and must be broken and cannot be purified. We find, however, in the Chumash, mention of a tzamid posil, about an absolute seal, when the opening of this clay vessel is sealed. Should this happen, the vessel itself does not become impure, and in addition, anything inside this sealed vessel also does not become impure by Torah law. Everything inside remains pure. Our sages decreed, however, that this should apply only to certain types of things. For example, clay vessels and food and drink, liquids, all of them remain pure should they be sealed inside this clay vessel, whereas garments and other types of vessels should by rabbinic decree be declared impure. Then the Rambam says the surprising law that if a person should be sealed inside one of these clay vessels in a tzamid seal, then this person remains pure. The Lubavitcher Rebbe Shlita pointed out the Rambam's statement in Hilchos Tmura, that all the laws of the Torah should be investigated by us to see whether we could learn out lessons in serving Hashem. And so too, the general law of Tumas Meis, the impurity of a dead body, and in particular, this law relating to a sealed clay vessel, and the fact that a person inside of it remains pure, was investigated by the Rebbe to take out a lesson in serving Hashem. The Rebbe explained that there are three different ways in which we could apply this concept of tumas meis, the impurity of a dead body, in the service of a person to God. And from the third of these three, we will have a lesson from our clay vessel which we discussed. The first of the three explanations, the Rebbe said, is that when a person separates himself from God, this is a concept of death in a spiritual sense. That since we say in the Chumash, Va'atem advekim, Vashem Elokeichem, Chayim kulchem ayim, that you who are cleaving to God are all alive, we see that the concept of cleaving, of connecting oneself with God is associated with the idea of life. And when one weakens this connection with God, one is weakened the life which one receives from God. And this connection is strengthened through a mitzvah, as the word mitzvah or commandment has also been associated with the Aramaic word tzavsa, which means a connection, that the commandment from God is a way in which we literally tzavsa, that we connect ourselves with God. That the example is commonly given of a great sage, a wise person, who might have no connection whatsoever with a person greatly inferior to him. However, when he asks or commands this person to do something for him, this person who would otherwise have no importance and no connection with this great sage suddenly becomes totally connected with him. And so too, how can we connect ourselves with God, him being so superior and above our understanding and grasp? Nevertheless, when he commands us to do something, by fulfilling this commandment, we attach ourselves with him. And therefore, we increase our cleaving to him, our connection with him, and increase our life. This is the first explanation of Chaim and Maves, the life and death, in a daily service of a person. The last two are explained or elucidated in the Zohar, the primary book of Kabbalah, Jewish mystical teachings, where it is explained that when a person falls from the level they are holding on, this is also called a type of death. That we see, therefore, not only when their improper behavior is in an absolute sense that the person has sinned. And this, as we discussed in the first, a person through non-observance of a mitzvah has, which is a falling, a lack in their behavior from any standard for any person. This is certainly considered a spiritual concept of what we're speaking about. However, furthermore, even if the person should not be violating a mitzvah, an explicit command, should they fall in this level of service which they were previously on, this itself is also called misa, also a type of spiritual death by the Zohar. As we see many cases in Jewish law, that the higher level a person is on, the more severely and closely he is judged. That although in absolute terms, a certain act might not be considered to be a transgression, for a person that is on an extremely high level, this could be considered a transgression on such a level. And this is called by the Zohar also a type of misa, also a type of death. The solution to these first two types of misa is the concept of tshuva, repentance, or improvement, a solid resolution that one will not return to the previous transgression in the first case, and also in the second case, where we say even falling from one's previous level is considered to be a type of death. Again, one can do repentance and return to the previous level and even add on to it in superior observance of the Torah, even going beyond what there was before. The third concept of what death can be looked at in a spiritual sense is also extrapolated from the statement of the Zohar that when one falls from the previous level, it is called death. And this can be judged not only in a person whose service in the world has decreased, but even in the general descent of a soul to this physical world, this is also considered a descent. As the phrase is used, Me'igra Roma Labira Amikta, from a tremendously lofty mountain, not only like falling off a mountain, but from coming off the top of this high mountain into a deep pit. This is what the descent of the soul down into this physical world is compared to. That previously the soul was united and basking in the godly revelation in the spiritual world, and instead it not only loses this, but comes down to a world of darkness. That not only is the previous godly revelation lacking, but in addition there is a covering over an extreme darkness and difficulty associated with realizing godliness. This is a clear descent, and associated also with the statement of the Zohar, that when one falls from previous level, it's also like death, as it can also be compared to a person entering Oyel HaMeis, entering a tent in which a dead body is present, that since over here the soul will necessarily fall from its previous level, that when the soul comes down into this world, it is also considered to entering such a tent. How can one escape this seemingly inescapable type of death? For this, the Rebbe quotes the halacha we brought at the beginning of today's shiur. One can first go into a clay vessel and then shut oneself up, seal the clay vessel. What is this idea in a spiritual sense? Entering a clay vessel, the Rebbe explains, is associated with the idea of bittul, of self-nullification. A clay vessel differs from any other type of vessel in that it is made out of earth, representing the idea of humility, self-nullification, and bittul. And as furthermore, our sages tell us that man was first created from the earth, as the word Adam, man, comes from the word Adama, or earth. And as we say in our prayers, in the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Adam Yaseide Me'afar, a person was created from the earth, and Kacheres HaNishbar is compared to broken clay. And so we see that the idea of entering a clay vessel can be incorporated in a spiritual sense through the idea of humility and self-nullification, which in a practical sense means that a person's personal desires are put on the side, and the person nullifies these desires and concerns oneself solely with holy things, with matters of Kedusha, of Torah, mitzvahs, and holiness. But even entering oneself into the clay vessel is also not enough. There is a second step. There must be a tzomit posil. There must be a seal. There must be a way that when inside this clay vessel, one should be shut off and be unaffected from the impurity which lurks outside. And when one makes this seal that there is an avoidance of contact and one prevents from being affected by the impurity which is outside this clay vessel, we learn that not only is one pure by Torah law, but even the sages did not decree on such an impurity, as the law is that a person inside a sealed clay vessel remains pure. So too, when one puts oneself inside the clay vessel in the figurative sense through bittul and self-nullification, and then seals oneself off to remain unaffected from the impurity around oneself, one remains totally pure. But how is it possible to remain unaffected from the world around us? It is impossible to totally seal oneself off from the environment. For this, there is another explanation where the Rebbe once said that merely avoiding contact with the physical world around us is not enough, and in fact not even desirable. That one cannot ignore the environment around. That will only work in preserving one's level in serving God in a holy way, as long as it's practical to ignore it. But sometimes a situation arises where it should be impossible. And even if one holds oneself higher than the environment, and therefore resolves to remain unaffected by it, this is also ineffective. What is the only way to truly remain unaffected and seal oneself off from undesirable influences from the surrounding world? The only way of doing so is not to shut oneself off, but rather to resolve to elevate the world around us. That one says that and realizes that the purpose of contact with this world around us is not to remain insulated and apart from it, but rather to raise it up to a higher level. And then when we come in contact with negative influences, we are not affected by these influences. These are influences which we expect. Why is it we have come in contact with them? Why do we come in contact with things which contradict holiness? It is because Hashem is giving us a chance to elevate these things and bring them up to a higher level. And this is the way we truly insulate ourselves from negative influences. Not by isolating ourselves from them and having nothing to do with them, since this is anyway impossible. And furthermore, is not desirable. Only when one resolves to deal with them and elevate them and see it as a holy obligation to do so, only then does one remain truly insulated from their effects. And the opposite is true. One affects them and elevates them to a holy source. Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments, contact Sichos in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.